Good morning. How is everyone? How many of you are excited about the new year? Wow. Let's try this again. Good morning, everybody. How many of you are excited for the new year? Happy New Year's, everyone. We're glad you're here. My name is Kelsey. I'm one of the pastors. Whether this is your first or your 50th or your 150th time, we're glad you're here celebrating the new year with us. I don't know about you, but the first Sunday of a year is always really exciting, right? It's almost this breath of fresh air, this new start. So everyone right now, take a breath of fresh air. Doesn't that feel good? Okay, so just me. All right, well, I want to make sure you guys are up to date on a couple of things before we get started this morning. And as I'm going to go pretty quickly, and there's a lot to know. So please check out your bulletin. There's also a calendar in your bulletin now so that you can post it on your refrigerator and say, hey, these are the things coming up this month. And we have Welcome Central that likes to answer questions, especially tough math questions. And we have a website that should be as up to date as humanly possible. Okay, so please don't just pay attention to me, pay attention to all the resources you have accessible to you. So here we go. First, this week we start back up with our midweek programming. So high school, we are back on Tuesday. Junior high, we're back on Wednesday. Children's ministries, you're starting a new series on Wednesday, and it's going to be a lot of fun, right? Libby says yes. Then we are also having our Grow You. They also start a new series, and choir is back up and running, so make sure you join us on Wednesday at 6, or if you're hungry and you like a good warm meal, come at 5:30. We'll be in C1, the building straight back that way, for the meal, and then we break off into our different programs. If you need more information about what's going on those, check out the website. The next big thing you need to know, I'm going to try and do this in order. I didn't do it in order last time, so let's do it in order. January 17th. Does anyone know what happens on January 17th? Marathon. For those of you that are not normal Arizonans or used to this area, the first year I was here, this caught me off guard. There's a marathon that runs right through our city. How many of you are running it this year? Okay, we got one. Got two. Are you running the half or the full? Half. Half. I'm going to start training right now and beat you. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that at all. But because of that marathon running through our city, it makes it nearly impossible for some of you to get here. So instead of having services in the morning, we're going to do one family service on the 17th at 6 p.m. Children will be in here. Youth will be in here. Everybody will be in here. And we're just going to party and praise God together. Does that sound okay? It's a great time to invite your friends and family because they don't have to wake up early to go to church. It's a benefit. So come, the 17th. We'll be in here at 6 p.m. The next big one you need to know about is the next Sunday. It's just every Sunday in the month of January. The 24th, we're having our tailgate party. I'm going to show you the awesome tailgate flyer. Thank you, Joel. 31st. I'm reading the other one. Okay, we're not going in order. I totally messed it up already. So the 31st is the 1 week between games where we don't have football. So instead, we're going to eat food, play games, and hang out. Okay, we're going to be tailgating in our parking lot over here. If you want to reserve spots, come to Welcome Central and sign up for spots. Okay, it's going to be a lot of fun. We even are getting a bungee run. Do you guys know what that is? It's an inflatable thing, and you strap yourself in, and you run as fast as you can, and then it launches you back. I'll take anybody on that wants to take me on. I'm a pro. So make sure you come. Fun for the whole family. Reserve your spots. Bring some food to share. Live music. It's going to be a great time to let our community know that we're here. So if you have friends and neighbors that are like, hey, church is stuffy and stoic, then you can be like, no, look, we have fun and we tailgate. So make sure you do that. And now I'm going to go back out of order, which is okay. On the 24th, Sunday the 24th, we are having a vote for our search committee for our lead pastor. Okay, so we are voting on the people that will be on the search committee. Does that make sense? We're not voting on a pastor. We're not voting on the issue itself. Instead, we're voting on the six people that will be on that search committee. If you want to know who those six people are or want an agenda for that meeting, it is available for you in Welcome Central, but make sure you are here on the 24th after church to vote on those six names, okay? Does that make sense? So for the next million of Sundays, we have things happening. So make sure you are checking the website. Make sure you are checking the calendar. Make sure you are talking to Welcome Central. Please, 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 please don't miss anything fun and exciting, especially, and I'll be biased, I love football, so we need to tailgate together and celebrate. There's even face painting, okay? I can't even say enough about it. So come to the tailgate party on the 31st. All right, and now my favorite part of the service, I want everyone to stand up and go and love on someone and tell them to have a great new year.
Well, good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Well, we're going to get started. Have had a good New Year's or start to your new year. We have, but we did have an incident in our apartments, and so this next song kind of makes me feel like, okay, there's someone behind us that's whatever, I don't know. This song is so awesome. Whom shall I fear? God of angel armies. So let's just sing this out and just know that he does go before us and he does take care of us. So anyway, we'll sing it.
Fills the night.
cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? Let's sing it out. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Sing, my strength is in your name. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. You guys can be seated. Thanks.
If we could put, and I don't know if Dan can, well, Dan can't hear me. If he could put those words back on that last slide from the song we just did, we'll see if he can do this. I hope he's, you know what? If it goes up there, let me know. Okay, that works. Go to the one before that. That would be great. Okay, so he'll eventually, okay. The one who reigns forever, he's a friend of mine. The God of angel armies, and get that next phrase, is always by my side. We're talking about God's mission today. And I think at times when we talk about the mission of God and we realize and when we truly realize that He's called us onto a mission. I think there are these times when we get discouraged, when we forget that the God of angel armies is always by my side. We don't go into this mission by ourselves. We don't go into this mission coming up with some new strategy or some new way of doing things. We go into this mission, and those of us who have trusted in Christ, we go into this mission with the God of angel armies by my side. That means as we carry out this mission, nothing can stand against us. There's this temptation to get discouraged. There's this temptation to get disappointed. And I'm not going to ask any of you how many of you have already broken your resolutions. Because I would imagine if you're like me, you've already blown past some of them. The God of angel armies is by our side. Let that sink in. Because when we look at this passage in Luke chapter 4, and it's a powerful passage. It's powerful first and foremost because it's about Jesus Christ, but it's also powerful because we get to see this picture of when Jesus launches his mission into this world. These are powerful phrases. These are powerful lines. So I invite you in your Bibles to look at Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 14. It says this, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Father, we pray now as we look at this portion of Luke's gospel, we pray that you would make it count, that you would take all the stuff that's going on in our lives, the good, the bad, the indifferent, the beautiful, the not so beautiful, all that stuff that's going on right now that we have a hard time dealing with, we pray that you'd make it count in such a way that your gospel continues to go out. We pray that as we look at this passage, that we would grasp the significance of the mission that you accomplished in Jesus Christ and that you've called us to live out. Holy Spirit, do your work. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts. Open us up to what it is that you have for us. And may we know that the God of angel armies is always by our side. May you be glorified, Lord Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So we come to this place in Luke chapter 4, and the way Luke sets up his gospel, there's all this, there's the birth narrative, and we've talked about that, talked about shepherds, and talked about Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah through Advent time. We come to this place now where Luke says, it's Jesus time. It's Jesus time. From this point, from the beginning of chapter 4 through the end, the focus is entirely on Jesus Christ. Luke is credited with writing not only Luke, but also Acts. He knows this, that he's going to write Acts, so he'll talk about the apostles when he gets to Acts. But for Luke, his primary focus is on Jesus Christ. And he starts by telling us this experience that Jesus had in the wilderness, and we're going to talk about that in a few weeks. And after the wilderness experience, where Jesus is without food for 40 days and 40 nights. And And he's there, and it's difficult. And perhaps you're thinking, how difficult could it be? 40 days, 40 nights without food? Sounds pretty hard. But he's in the wilderness. The wilderness is got to be just absolutely gorgeous. Beautiful hillside, streams of clean water, trees everywhere. It's got to be glorious. It couldn't have been that hard, could it? Well, if that's your idea of the wilderness, take a look at this picture. This is the wilderness. You could count on one hand how many trees are there. You could count perhaps on two fingers how many streams are there. When I was in Israel, I was struck by the vastness of the wilderness. Jesus Christ spent 40 days and 40 nights there. There's, I don't know if you can tell, and I hope you, if you can't tell, open your eyes. There's nothing there. Nothing. And it goes for hundreds of miles. Kings were called to go into the wilderness for a time of testing. The whole purpose of the testing was to strip them down so that they realized that the only thing that they could truly depend on was God himself. Jesus Christ is a new king. Jesus Christ went through this wilderness, and we'll talk more about that, like I said, in a few weeks. But Jesus Christ goes through this wilderness experience, and he comes out of it, and Luke immediately throws in this story of Jesus' teaching. I want you to let that sink in a little bit. Notice what it says here in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Luke says, the first thing I want to talk about isn't about the healings that Jesus did. The first thing I want to talk about is the fact that Jesus was a teacher. We have a lot of teachers that attend this community of faith. They go back to teaching tomorrow. Students have had a two-week break. There's not a single person in this room that's envious of being a teacher tomorrow. We will pray for you. Because students, you guys don't look overly thrilled about going back to school. But students are going back to school. They've been off for 2 weeks. It's going to be a little chaotic. Teachers have sat there and thought, this has been a great 2 weeks. I talked with Sean Crozier yesterday. I said, you've got 48 hours left. And Sean says, don't remind me. Here's why I'm bringing this up. The first thing that Jesus Christ did, the first thing that Luke wants us to realize is that Jesus Christ is a teacher. If you're a teacher, what you do matters. If you're a teacher, Luke is your gospel. Teaching is what Jesus Christ needed to do because he's a new king. He has a new kingdom, and teaching needs to happen because people aren't expecting this type of a kingdom. They're not expecting this type of a reign. So Jesus has spent time in the wilderness, and the first thing that Luke says is he immediately starts teaching. He goes into these places in Galilee, and he begins to teach. Teachers, we will be praying for you tomorrow, trusting that God's going to use you to make an impact in this upcoming semester. And students, show your teachers tomorrow some grace. Okay, Shekayla, can you do that? Thank you very much, all right? Jesus is going to teach. And then look what happens in verse 16. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. We're going to stop there. The synagogue was this place, it was a community gathering place. It was a place that was used throughout the week. It was a place where they would have different meetings to talk about what was going on in their area. It was a place where people could come and pray. But there was activity going on in the synagogue all the time. It was a hub of activity. It was a hub of communication. The synagogue also served as a school. because these were Jewish people in a Roman world, and that school was there to train up the young people to remember who they are and who their God truly is. At the age of 5 or 6, they began going to school. Kindergarten, for lack of a better word, and perhaps that's the best connection. In kindergarten, the only thing that John Bosick wanted to do, I can't believe I just went third person on you, the only thing I wanted to do was get through school so I could go home and play with my next door neighbors, Daryl, Dean, and a guy across the street called Duke. I couldn't wait to get home. But when you were 5 or 6 and you went to synagogue, you memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. By the time you were 12 years of age, you had the bulk of the Old Testament memorized. Sort of makes kindergarten for people like me look like a walk in the park. Teaching happened at this synagogue, and teaching happened in such a way that lives were being transformed. And so we're told that Jesus is teaching, and we come to these places and we see that he's teaching in a synagogue, and we perhaps gloss over that. But the synagogue was where everybody gathered. It was where ideas were shared. It was where concerns of the community were shared. And so there's a Sabbath day, and Jesus shows up to teach at the synagogue. And what happened is that during the, how this worked on a Sabbath was that there would be this horn blown, and this horn would announce the fact that service is about to start. People would come from all over the neighborhood. They would descend on the synagogue. Around the edges are where all the prominent, important people of the town sat. Perhaps there were priests, Levites, really important people in the town sat along the edges. Rich folks. And in the middle of that, and on the floor, is where the common folk sat. And so people gathered, and so when they gathered in the synagogue, Jesus knew that he was going to hit every part of the community. And in the middle of the synagogue, there was this raised, I guess you could call it perhaps a podium or something like that, but on that podium was a desk. And what would happen is they would everybody would gather, there'd be some singing, they would pray. And then this person, and in Luke's gospel it says the attendant, this attendant would bring over a scroll and place it on this desk. And when they placed it on the desk, everybody knew that somebody would get up and speak. So Jesus grabs the scroll, and he's going to speak. Up to this point, everything is going as planned. Up to this point, people have done this week after week after week, and they're thinking, nothing's going to change. And perhaps that's you today. Perhaps that's you today. You show up here every single week. You know this. There's going to be these announcements. There's going to be a time of greeting. There's going to be a couple songs. Somebody's going to get up and preach. Then we're going to do this. We're going to do this. You have it all planned out. And what ends up happening is this, is that we miss out on God moving. When was the last time you showed up here on a Sunday morning expecting to experience God? And not just God, but Jesus Christ himself. Common folk are sitting on the floor on their mats. The prestigious ones are on the outside. The scroll of Isaiah is handed to Jesus. And there's this little phrase that we can't miss. So the latter part of verse 17. unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. All of a sudden, things changed. Jesus Christ found the spot in Isaiah that he wanted to proclaim that day. Many scholars believed that Jesus went off script. And because he went off script, everybody in that place all of a sudden is going, what's going on? We're not supposed to be in Isaiah 61 today. We're supposed to be back here in Isaiah 45. What's he doing? And trust me, you do not go off script when you're there on a Sabbath. Rich people lining the outside, common people in the middle, and all of a sudden, Jesus flips the script, and everybody in that room is going, uh-oh, he's gone rogue. This is a big deal. There is tension in that room. So much so because people are realizing this is a new person. Yeah, we've heard about him, but where does he get off going off script? And then he says these words. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. As you read through all of Luke and as you read through Acts, this passage, Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, everything that Jesus Christ does and the apostles do can be seen through these two verses. Jesus goes off script because this is his mission. And everything that follows in Luke goes through this grid. Maybe not every single one of them at every event, but there is something going on in each one of those events that's recorded for us in Luke that fits in this filter, fits in this prism. Everything. Jesus is committed to this mission. He's not going to shy away from that mission. We get distracted. And Jesus Christ, for the times that he was carrying out this mission, there certainly were distractions. Something perhaps prompting him to not go into that particular area, but he knew it was consistent with his mission. I was a junior in high school. My youth pastor came up to me and he said, listen, would you like to preach at a nursing home? And then he followed it up and he said, I believe you can do this. I believe God's got something in store for you. And so I looked at Scott and I said, yeah, might as well. And he looked at me and said, I'll get together with you. We'll work on this. And I said, that sounds great. And so I go and I preach at this nursing home. And first off, my youth pastor set me up to succeed because I was this junior in high school, and people at the nursing home couldn't believe that a person my age would actually come into a nursing home voluntarily. So I come in, they greet me, and Scott said, you need to preach for about 20 minutes. This is the passage, and so he and I worked on it. He gave me some pointers and things like that. And so I was so freaked out that day, that evening. My shirt that I was wearing was just soaking wet with sweat. I was supposed to preach for 20 minutes. I preached for 10. And these old people came up to me afterwards and said, that was magnificent. Thank you for sharing. I thought, I don't even remember what I said. I drove home that night. And as I was driving home that night, God laid a call on my life. as clear can be. He said, John, I want you to do this for the rest of your life. I've called you to be a pastor. I've called you to preach. I've called you to teach. And it was just as clear as I'm saying it now. And I'm driving and I'm going, but that really doesn't work very well. My dad wants me to be an engineer. My dad's favorite classes in high school growing up were these two, gym and lunch. He wasn't a big fan of school. My dad worked a job that he absolutely hated. He worked a job because it paid money and it because he needed to provide for his family, but he hated his job. And I did pretty well in school, and my dad, growing up, said, you're going to be an engineer. And John, the reason why I want you to be an engineer is because I don't want you to do a job that you absolutely hate and do a job where you're not going to make nearly enough money. I want you to have a job where you can take care of your family and you don't have to worry about paycheck to paycheck. And so that night when God called me into being a pastor, I went home and I knew that I was eventually going to need to talk to my dad. I let 2 months pass. My dad and I are not overly close. Many of you know that. So we were talking one of the few times we ever really talked, and I said to my dad, I said, Dad, I'm not going to be an engineer. And my dad says, what? I said, I think I'm called to be a pastor. And my dad laughed. He said, you've got to be kidding me. You're going to be a pastor? I said, yeah. He says, you can't do that. Do you realize they don't make a whole lot of money? Do you realize that you're going to be an engineer? I said, Dad, I got to tell you, God's called me. And my dad walked off. There have been opportunities to do a variety of things. There have been distractions that have come along the way. But since that day, since that evening, God has said, you need to keep moving in this direction. When I go home now, my dad introduces me to his friends as, this is my son, and he's a pastor. He has a big smile on his face. When Jesus Christ laid out his mission of bringing recovery of sight to the blind, of proclaiming freedom for prisoners, of setting the oppressed free, of proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, there certainly were times in his life when he was distracted or could have been distracted. But Jesus Christ was called to do a mission, and the mission was the redemption of humanity. That's what's so powerful about what he's saying. So the poor people in the middle of this floor, the prestigious people around the edge, are hearing these words come out of his mouth, and they can't believe it. There's tension in the air. They're thinking, how could this guy do this? The reason why he could do it is because he was called by God to do a mission. He was called by God to do a mission, and it wasn't just any particular mission. Look what it says, to proclaim good news to the poor. Imagine you're sitting in the middle of that room. You've never heard good news before because you are the poor, you are an outcast, you are not necessarily just financially poor, but because you don't fit in, you're somebody that is poor in relationships, you're somebody that is poor spiritually, you're somebody that is poor financially, all these things, and all of a sudden you're hearing, you've got good news coming your way. And then he follows it up and he says, he sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. People who were imprisoned, not completely because they're behind bars, but because they're imprisoned by guilt. They're imprisoned by their status in life. The people on the edges are imprisoned by their pride, by their ego. The people that are struggling in the middle, perhaps they're imprisoned because of debt that they owe to somebody, and they're in this prison state of having to pay off these people, perhaps, who are sitting on the edges. He's come to proclaim freedom to those folks, to proclaim freedom to those who desperately need it, and then recovery of sight for the blind. Yes, Jesus Christ heals people and brings physical healing to these people who are blind, but he also brings freedom and recovery of sight for the blind so that people can see the way the world's supposed to be. We have blinders on. All of us do. And Jesus Christ says, I've come to remove those blinders so you can see this world the way I want it to be. And then he says, to set the oppressed free. Is it addiction? Is it somebody else in your life that's taking up too much space, that's preventing you from pursuing after what God has called you to do? We live in a world that thrives on oppression. And Jesus Christ says, I've come to set you free. I've come to set the oppressed free. And then he wraps it up and he says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, also known as Jubilee. What is Jubilee? Every 7 years, you were required to not grow any crops. You were required to let the ground go fallow. And then the next year, you were going to go back and till that up again. At the end of 7 sets of 7 years, in essence, the 50th year, it was the year of Jubilee. And this is what Jubilee meant. It meant that all your debts are forgiven. It meant that if you were in prison, you were freed. It meant that if your family lost property to somebody because you made a bad financial decision, it meant that that property now comes back into being yours. Hence the name Jubilee. Imagine tomorrow you go to your mailbox, you open up your mailbox, it's a letter from Wells Fargo. Because they have your home mortgage. And it says, mortgage paid. Are you just going to look at it and say, oh, that's nice, and move on? No! You're going Facebook, Twitter, the whole 9 yards. You're yelling it out saying, I am free. Imagine that. So these people that are in the middle of the synagogue are hearing that Jubilee is now. All of a sudden they're going, we're free. The people around the edges who perhaps are oppressing those people in the middle are now saying, uh-oh, something's changed. You desire to be free. It's Jesus' mission to set you free. 2016 could be a year of freedom for you if you simply turn to Jesus and say, set me free. So he stands up, he speaks, and then look what happens next. Verse 20. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What would happen in the synagogue is after the person stood up to read, they then grabbed a stool, or they didn't grab a stool necessarily, they just sat down and they began to teach. Notice what Luke says. He says, all the eyes are fastened on him. The people on the edges, the poor people in the middle, are now all focused on him. Perhaps the people on the edges are murmuring to one another saying, this guy needs to do some explaining and he needs to do it now. Because he went off script and you know that's a no-no. How dare he do that? So Jesus sits down, everybody's looking at him, and he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Everybody in that room knew the prophecy. Everybody in that room knew that there would be a time when this prophecy would be fulfilled. Everybody in that room is looking at Jesus and says, the time is now. I am the fulfillment of this prophecy, and everything changes. Jesus Christ was called on a mission. The mission was to bring redemption and freedom and recovery of sight for the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and he lived that out. Jesus Christ asks you today, do you realize that you're part of that mission? Do you realize that he's called you, whether you're a teacher, a lawyer, an engineer, a student, unemployed, employed, whatever the case may be, he's called you. If you've trusted in Christ, he's called you. Frankly, he's called everybody to this mission. But yet there are distractions along the way. And it's why it's important to remember that the God of angel armies is by your side. This mission is a resolute mission that God has called all of us to. This mission is something that changes people's lives. This mission is what God has called FBC Scottsdale to do, to care for all of humanity. And in the process, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, that people are set free. I want to close by asking you one question. Will you participate in that type of a mission? Father, we pray now, as we reflect on these words, we know that there are distractions in our lives that prevent us from living out this mission. We pray that you'd bring those things to mind. Perhaps it's people. Perhaps it's a broken relationship. Perhaps it's some guilt or shame or fear. Would you bring those distractions to mind? And Father, we know this. At least we sung it a little while ago. That the God of angel armies is always by our side. Father, as we lay these distractions before you, just as you laid the distractions in your life aside so you could pursue the mission of redeeming humanity, we pray that we'd be mindful that the God of angel armies is by our side, and that these distractions will not prevail, but the mission you've called us to do will prevail, because today you have fulfilled that prophecy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going before us, behind us, beside us, above us, below us, as we seek to live out this mission of drawing people to you, Lord Jesus. Do your work, and we thank you for what you've already done and accomplished in Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. The mission that Jesus Christ took up was a mission that eventually led him to the cross. And it's the first Sunday of the month, and it's also the first Sunday of a new year. And we come to this time now where we remember what Jesus Christ did for us. We remember that the mission laid out before him in Luke chapter 4 was a mission that he accomplished, and it led him to the cross. On the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, and I would imagine that was a significant distraction, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." He then took wine and he poured it into a cup. And he said, "This wine represents my blood that will be shed for the forgiveness of sins." The mission that I'm on is a mission that will bring freedom to everybody. Every time you get together, remember me. So the elements are going to come to you, the bread will come to you, and I encourage you at this time as you take the bread to remember that the bread represents his body, which is broken for you. A body that was flesh and bones just like you and me, yet it would soon be broken because the mission sent him to the cross to pay the price for our sin.
I'm here to find you, reveal yourself to me. As I wait, you make me strong. As I long, you draw me to your arms. As I stand and I sing your praise, you come, you come and you fill this place. Lord, come, Lord, come and fill this place.
So on that night when he was betrayed, he took that bread, he broke it, and he said, "Every time you get together, remember me." So we take, we eat, we remember. Thank you.
As I wait, you make me strong as I long. You draw me to your arms as I stand. Sing your praise, you, come and fill this place. Lord, come, Lord, come and fill this place.
Together, I'm here.
I'm here to meet with you. Come and meet with me. I'm here to find you. Reveal yourself to me as I wait. You make me strong as I long, you draw me to your arms as I stand, and I sing your praise. You, come and you fill this place. Lord, come and fill this place. Won't you come and fill.
Again, I'm here.
I'm here to meet with you. Come and meet with me.
So after they ate the bread, Jesus then took the cup and he said, "This represents my blood that will be shed for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you gather, remember me." So we take, we drink, and we remember. Christ gave everything. He gave it all. And we now respond to that incredible gift that he gave by giving a portion of what he gave to us, giving back a portion of what he gave to us. We give not because of guilt. We don't give because of shame. We give because of his amazing grace that rescued all of us. Father, we pray now as we receive this morning's offering, we pray that you would remind us of what you gave, that you gave your all. And may you take these gifts, this offering, and use it for your mission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ushers.
Thank you.
Christ be the center. Will
Christ be the center of our lives? Be the place we fix our eyes. Be the center of our lives. And you're the center of the universe. Everything was made in you.
And that's true. Turn your eyes to Jesus. As we live out this mission that he's already accomplished, Jesus says, look at me. Look at me and go out and live out this mission. Know that the God of angel armies goes with you. Know that Jesus Christ has called us to mission. It's a mission that he implemented, that he established, and he succeeded in doing. And he asks us to share that great message with the people in our lives. So teachers will be praying for you tomorrow. Students will be praying for you tomorrow as you go back. Be part of the mission that Jesus Christ has called us to live. God bless you and enjoy your day.